Well, it's a joy to be here. Of course, I feel like a bologna sandwich at a banquet. All these good preachers and good fellowship. Well, let me say, I sure appreciate the opportunity of being here. And y'all have been so kind, so nice, and such a blessing to be here. And of course, I've known Brother Ennis from all these years. Been a blessing to know him and see what God's done in his life and what God's done in their lives. God's just been so good. But I want us to look over in the book of John, chapter 19, and we'll be speaking for just a few moments on John 19, again, verse 17. Let's pray. Dear God, we love you. We thank you for this privilege to pray. Thank you for the precious blood that you shed on Calvary. Lord, for the love that you had for an old sinner. God, just for reaching down by your grace and saving us. Lord, we thank you for this place. And Lord, what a thrill and what a testimony to see what God has done here and through God's man and using this place. Now, Father, give us something today to be a help to us and strengthen us. And God, just challenge our hearts. But Lord, most of all, glorify your name. We'll love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. John chapter 19 began with verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers went, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts on every soldier part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said they therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And they parted my garments among them, and my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Then when Jesus therefore saw his mother, he said to the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then thou saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. I call your attention to verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus. I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning, for just a few moments, on they stood by the cross. Brother Ennis is not many standing by the cross anymore. And I thought about Brother Ennis, been here all these years, standing by the stuff. Brother Melvin here this morning. These men I've known for years, and God's blessed me to let me be a pastor for 46 years. Amen. Well, amen. But I miss those old fellows who used to stand by the cross. I miss the things they used to say. What bothers me is this generation that's coming up that's selling out to contemporary. It's selling out to strange Bibles. It's selling out to come as you are and leave as you are and don't be anything after you're gone. Boy, I tell you, I'm still a Baptist. I see these churches taking Baptists off of their church names. Fella asked me, said, well, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? I said, out of the will of God. I know there's other people say maybe it's not Baptist, but I still believe old-fashioned Baptist doctrine.
Amen.
By God's grace, we see that many had fled. Many had deserted. So it is today. But thank God there's still a few that just stand by the cross.
Amen.
I thought about here these four individuals. Well, I'll name them quickly for just a moment. There was Mary Magdalene. She stood by the cross. And hey, you've got to have something to stand by the cross. That's not popular in these days. But I'll tell you, if you got the real thing, you stand by the cross.
Amen.
I believe Mary Magdalene stood by the cross because she's redeemed.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something. You forget about building these churches on unsaved people.
Amen.
It ain't going to work. Unsaved people are going to think like unsaved people. They're going to act like unsaved people. But Mary Magdalene was saved. She was redeemed. While the others fled and went the wrong ways and all these. Mary Magdalene, she remembered that day when Jesus came into her heart and life.
Yeah.
Over in Luke 8 and verse 2 said, and a certain woman had been an evil spirit, an infirmity, healed of evil spirits, infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, of whom was went out seven devils. I know a few like that. I know a few that the devil's been cast out. Of course, I meet up with somebody once in a while, I still think you got seven devils. But she remembered that day when Jesus changed her life. Boy, I still remember that day at an old-fashioned altar when Jesus changed my life. It made a difference. The psalmist said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Boy, thou hast redeemed us. And they stood by the cross. And I still believe those who got the real stuff, really redeemed, washed in the blood, saved by the grace of God, they'll stand by the stuff. They'll stand by the cross. I believe it was Dr. Lee Robinson, one of those great men, said you can preach anything you want to, but you better end up at the cross. The Bible said he redeemed his people. The Bible said in Isaiah said, boy, I have redeemed thee. Thou hast called thee. I have called thee by thy name. I thought about it, Brother Joel, last night. I'm glad I remember that day he called my name.
Amen.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemptions in Christ Jesus. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God had made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Hey, God done something in my life. God done something in your life. That makes you want to stand by the cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of the fathers, but the precious blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, Mary Magdalene said, I got to stand by the cross. I ain't leaving. I ain't going out in the world. I ain't going back to the old ways because I'm saved. He redeemed me by his grace. Redemption will make you stand by the cross. Make you stand by the old-fashioned way. Well, secondly, there was Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Now, she come to the Lord one day. She approached Jesus, and she said, now, I'd like to have you let my sons sit one on one side and one on the other. Isn't it amazing, even in our churches, you know? Oh, boy, they'll shout and say amen, hallelujah, till you get on their children. Oh, Brother Charles Webb told me one time, he said, no, now having rules and having regulations is fine. He said, the problem comes when you start to enforce them.
Yeah.
He said, boys, I'll tell you, saying you can't sing in the choir if you got short shirt skirts on. He said, that's good. Boy, everybody shout hallelujah. But what do you have to go to one of the deacon's wives, the deacon's daughter, and say, hey, you can't sing in the choir dress like you dress.
Good preaching.
So Mary Magdalene, the wife of Cleophas, one day said, Jesus, I want my children to have the close places to you. But Jesus rebuked her. But she stood by even after being rebuked. Hey, this crowd that you have to rebuke them, they get mixed up in sin.
Yeah.
They live worldly. They won't stand by the word of God.
Amen.
And you have to set them down and talk to them. And you have to rebuke them and say, well, that we ain't going to have that. Then they get mad at the devil. They say, bless God, I'll tell you, I've been here all these years. I'm going to go down the street and start me a little church of my own. Hey, that crowd ain't no count. They ain't going to stand by the church. They ain't going to stand by God. But the Bible said, rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. You're in my ministry and you're in some of your ministry, Brother Charles, I'm sure. Then some folks that you say, well, we just ain't going that way. And they say, all right, preacher, you're the man of God, and we're going to accept what you say. And they'll love you and stand behind you. That's good people.
Amen.
They stand by it. They love you for it. I've had people over these 46 years come to me later and say, preacher, I'm glad that you rebuked me. I'm glad that you wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. They see how it could have been a tragedy in their life. She stood by the cross, even after being rebuked. Hebrews said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is born whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are your bastards and not sons. It'll prove your relationship to the Lord when he rebukes you. But even after the rebuke, I've got folks in our church now, and probably over the years, they didn't quite go along with things. They say, well, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. But preacher, you're the man of God, and we're going to just do what God, as you say, God does. Well, preacher, you may be wrong. Hey, if preacher's wrong, God take care of that.
Yeah.
It ain't nobody else's job. But even after being rebuked, she stood by the cross. She stood by the cross of the Lord. Thank God for those who stand by the cross. Even after being rebuked, even after going through some trials and some troubles, and hey, everything. I don't know whether you ever realize that, but hey, everything don't just work out like you thought it was going to. But even when it don't, just don't quit. Just keep on the going. After being rebuked. 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, I had one of the hardest things ever happened in my life. I walked into the house. To a house and walked in the back bedroom, laid my hand on my youngest son, and he was cold in death. He died in his sleep. And I hope none of you ever have to go through that. But you know what got me and my wife through that? My wife said, God's still right. God never makes a mistake. 42 years old, walked out to the graveyard and buried my youngest son. But hey, a lot of folks, when they run into problems, they're going to quit.
That's right.
Hey, going out and taking a bunch of dope, and going out and getting drunk, and going out and living in sin, hey, That just makes problems worse.
That's right.
But when you're rebuked of God, when you find disappointments, when problems come, just stand by the cross. Just love Jesus and live for Him. And so Mary, the wife of Cleophas, she stood by the cross even through the rebuke. Then there was Mary, the mother of Jesus. She stood by the cross because of reward. Hey, God had blessed her. Now, she's not God, and you don't pray to her. God done something so special for her that He never done for any other woman. She had the privilege of being the mother of Jesus.
That's right.
God had rewarded her. Bible said, whosoever giveth a drink in one of these little ones, a cup of water, and cold water in my name, of the disciples, shall none know wise or lose his reward. I'm not going to take time to stand here this morning and tell you everything God's done in my life and all these, but I tell you, God's done so much for me. A little old country boy, orphan boy, even my father didn't want me. My father left 5 weeks before I was born. I never seen my daddy till I was 28 years old. And at that time, the only desire I had to see him was I wanted to tell him about Jesus. And I missed out on so much. And all of that. But hey, God done so much for me. I never thought I'd have an honor like standing in a church like this. I never thought that in my life, all I want, hey, I'm so old, I was just trying my best to graduate from high school and get me a job where I can make $50 a week. Back in days, if you could make $50 a week, you did pretty good. And now, yeah, I won't get you 2 days' groceries. But I just struggled to make it through. And hey, these marriages, these little children, boy, you don't know what it is. Hey, make sure these marriages are of God.
Amen.
And they raise them in a Christian home and all that. You don't know what it is. You know what kind of complexes these little young ones have when they come from these broken homes and these... drunkard homes and all these things. But I'll tell you, God's still there. And I thought I just had to fight for a living. I weighed 92 pounds in high school, and I've always been determined to do something. I weighed 92 pounds. I said, I'm going out for football. I went on, got on the football team, made the first team, 92 pounds. One of my classmates, had a class meeting here a while back. They said, back in them days, said you was either the best football player or the bravest man I've ever seen. I was determined I was going to make it. Everything was against me. But I made the football team, went into the Navy, and played football for the Navy.
Wow.
Most unlikely. I was probably voted the most unlikely person to succeed in my class. But because of God.
Amen.
Because there's a Savior. That went to an old rugged cross and suffered and bled and died and commended His love toward us. While yet I was a sinner, He died for me.
Amen.
And I'm still on the way home. Just a little nearer home today. Thank God because of reward. Then lastly, let me say that there was a man by the name of John. John the Beloved. He stood by the cross. I believe he stood by the cross because of his responsibility. He said, I've got a responsibility. I can't quit. Can't give up. I think about it today. Hey, I ain't even thinking about going no other way.
Amen.
I still like old time religion.
Amen.
I've got a responsibility to a Savior who saved me in the first place.
Right.
Then I've got a responsibility to these old men. Dr. Roy Hall, that pastored the church I'm pastoring now, about 43 years. Hey, I'd be a sorry renegade to go the other way and let down. I got to stand by the stuff.
Amen.
Think of this brother that you was talking about this morning, 90-some years old. We've got a responsibility to uphold the standard they've stood by.
Amen.
They've suffered. And hey, they didn't have beautiful churches like this in the years gone. They just met out in a brush arbor and some of them in old houses or whatever. Most of these old preachers that stood by the stuff, they didn't have near the conveniences and the good things that we enjoy today. But they stood by the cross.
Amen.
We've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility. Men like B.R. Lake. Harold Cycler, Bobby Grubbs, Mays Jackson, Brother W.C. Bradley, you talked about. I had the honor, and I wasn't thrilled about the honor, but I had the honor of preaching to Brother W.C. Bradley's funeral. I looked at him, I thought, God, I've got to stand by the stuff because of men like that. I can't quit.
Amen.
When are you going to retire? I ain't even thinking about it.
Amen.
What we got in the White House now, that's got any use to think about it. Social Security ain't going to help you. But we've got a responsibility.
Amen.
As long as I'm able, God will let me. I want to just keep on standing by the stuff.
Amen.
Stand by that old rugged cross. They can have this modern stuff. But I'm just going to stand by the cross.
Amen.
Let me exhort you. Just stand by the cross. Thank you, Brother Ennis, for letting me preach. But most of all, thank you for loving Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for standing by the stuff.
Amen.
Stand for the cross.